Same China, different stories.
We are the ones that found our way in life. In a new life.
Adoptees Born in China.
My name is Tara, and I'm the host of Adoptees Born in China podcast. It has been more than 4 years, just a little bit past, and I have not recorded a solo episode in a minute, partially due to life happening, and then I did actually receive 2 guest inquiries, so those 2 episodes were released, and now it's just a matter of continuing something that is still a passion and also a way to help the adopted community as a part of this lovely adventure. What I'd like to talk about on this lovely recording is going to be about hitting 4 years and also thinking more about some of my recent events. I'm recording in a whole new space, one that I knew I would eventually have to move, but my timeline was pushed much earlier than I anticipated, and that's also a reason that I took a moment. But I thought reflecting about grief, understanding a little bit more about how that relates to not only a passing or of somebody that you don't know is there, but also grief of a previous situation or a time in your life that had been something that you thought was lasting and more. And it really does come with experience, as I have been talking about in therapy. Side note, I learned my therapist is actually leaving the platform that I've been using, and I learned that it's okay to ask them where they go. So anybody felt nervous about asking their therapist where they're going, you are more than welcome to ask them about that, and it's okay. I also personally haven't been reaching out to fellow Chinese adoptees as frequently as I was previously, and I attribute that to, of course, life experiences. But it's always wonderful to hear from Chinese adoptees and those who are interested in sharing more about their experiences, and having this available for everyone, aside from just Chinese adoptees, but everybody who's interested in understanding more about adoption. This podcast really has been a way to process and also see, I guess, how I've changed personally over the past 4 years. I realize I also started this during the pandemic, and a lot of other podcasts grew out of the pandemic too, that so we're all sharing this lovely adventure of a 4-year anniversary mark. And I think that's something to celebrate. We should all be proud and celebrate when we have an accomplishment that lasts, I want to say, more than a year. I'm somebody who really personally have not had a lot of commitments that have lasted more than a year or 2 years, and I say this in relation to work and also relationships. So I share this because I have been working as a freelancer for 3 years now, and that is not to dismiss or diminish what I do, but I know it's like challenging in different ways, and there's flexibilities that I'm offered that those within a job that does have regulated hours of like a 9-to-5 or a 10-to-6, whatever it may be. I was able to take a 3-week vacation in Japan and Taiwan, and in the time that I was in Japan, it really was comforting to be surrounded by others who are also Asian. Most people were. And just understanding and experiencing the culture that's very different from what I know and understand from my trips of being in China. And then even going to Taiwan, the difference is, for when I was in Taiwan, I was able to communicate a little bit more with people, and that came in handy, being able to speak some Mandarin and get around. The timing of the trip came at a point where I had known that I was going to be traveling and going to Japan for about a year, I want to say. That is because I was going for the Tokyo Marathon. And of course, when I travel, or I guess anybody who travels for an international marathon, so those who are in the US going to Asia, or those in Europe going to Asia, that's an international travel. I feel like a lot of us will want to stay around and travel and visit sites, and I planned it that way. So I knew for 3 weeks I would be not working, and I wouldn't be paid for that time off, and that I know is a luxury that some people have, and others, you know, like I did get more time, but It's different. It's very different. And I ended up moving 2 days before my flight to Japan. And that was a result of a housing situation. And this may be common everywhere, but especially in New York City, sometimes owners can sell or they want to lease the building out, and you don't always get a lot of warning. There's a lot of other layers underneath with the move too, but I did find myself in a new place, actually in a neighborhood that's not far off from where I was. So I'm still getting to live in Queens. I had to understand and sort of go into that idea where I was talking about a little bit earlier with grieving. I would say I'm grieving a different part of my time in Queens, and now I'm going to be experiencing a new chapter, essentially, or new experiences in Queens in the same places. And I think we sometimes dismiss that grieving is also for situations and experiences as well, in addition to people or things that we lose. And I'm sure maybe it's well known, but I would say just in the past year, I'm definitely understanding more about the grief of what was and the spaces. And being able to create new memories is something that I value. I also wanted to share update, and I think it's okay now because it's been shared publicly, but friend Katie, who I've talked about on the show and part of the inspiration for starting the podcast, is a writer, and she has been working on her memoir for her story and experience with going to China. But she actually had a DNA match, and I know she has spoken in a couple of events and a couple of opportunities to share about her experience with finding her birth family. And maybe if she's ready, I might talk to her at one point on the podcast. She's definitely been on the show before in recording, and definitely somebody I consider a close friend and someone like a sister, because I don't have a sister. And I know a lot of people I've spoken to do have sisters who are also adopted, so it's kind of like I got to find a sister in a different format and way, not through adoption, but just through, I guess, choosing and associating with one another. Because ultimately, we do get the option to choose who we want to be around, and we all make our own family, as sometimes some of us have heard. But the experience of talking to so many adoptees and so many of us, it really helps to understand and know that it's different for everybody. Our timing and our experience with adoption, or even our identity related to being Chinese or any other culture that you come from, is a result of sometimes it's experience. I want to say it must be experience, and also just where you are with your personality, that there are core elements of personality that doesn't change, and that is something that is hard to accept, but we know it's there. So, just something to keep in mind as I feel to share. I'm not sure if I'm going to talk for super long time, but I know I can ramble, and so this is fun because it has been. I was originally planning to do a solo episode back in January, so it's been about 5 months, and really, it feels like it's been a lot longer just because of the experiences since January. I ended up interacting and having to fight a lot for some of what I felt was wrong and what was wrongdoing done to myself personally. And as a result, losing friendships, it happens. But also, a year ago, I do speak openly about this with others, especially in therapy, but other friends, and I've shared that I had a meltdown in public in a park in New York City. It was a pouring rainy day, and it was one of those meltdowns where you just are crying and you're so upset and angry and you're frustrated, but you're also physically outside and you have to find a way to go inside or somewhere that's safe. And I do think a lot of us probably do have these experiences, but we don't talk about them, and I want to be able to share this because a year ago that was a very low point. I know I've had other points like this, but here in the city where I thought something was new and different, moving here 4 years ago, okay, almost 4 years ago, July would be 4 years, so we're getting close, but moving here, I felt like, oh, I may not experience this those types of lows again, but there we were a year ago. And I reflect on it now, being able to appreciate it, but also know that it was not an enjoyable time and not the most enjoyable way to experience a meltdown. But going back to the grieving, so along with the living situation, there was also friendships that I found were valuable at the time for 3 years, and seemed when I was getting to that low point. There's a few things that led up to that low point besides just being lost in a park in the pouring rain, not knowing where I was. But I did find myself being in a place where it was sort of like a wake-up call, I guess they put it, and they have those tropes and arcs in films and television, and they're there for a reason. And I noticed that, yeah, in that moment, a lot of what I thought was valuable and genuine for me was really not. And even in the time since, thinking back to my first 3 years here, friendships have changed. There were some that had remained there for about 3 years, and then going into the fourth year, they were no longer. I realized also, like, I started therapy and seeing a therapist who actually I matched with randomly and ended up working out. Whereas I know also, I'm sure I've talked about it on here and with others in recordings, that I had a therapist I was matched with before who seemed to be helpful initially, and then to their own personal reflections or whatever was going on in their life, ended up being a really bad match. But that was also coinciding with being in a relationship that was not very valuable, and it was fun. I will say it was a fun relationship. It was with somebody who was younger, and then I ended up actually ended up seeing two people who were younger than myself. So I am 30 years old, and the two people that I did see back to back were 4 years my junior. And I see and feel like that's a very normal thing of people dating. Getting a little sidetracked, but thinking back to that time a year ago was one of those relationships, and there was other parameters around that where I noticed some changes were happening, and some of the reasons that we found each other were not out of like a good spot or timing. And had it been a different time, I don't know. I think in a way, knowing and seeing the true character of people when it's not a great time is better than having good timing and then still finding out their true character later on, if that makes sense. And I ended up trying to do, and I will say, for the first time for me, because I hear people do it a lot, but I did try to stay friends with someone that I dated. And it was partially because of the group of friends that I was a part of, that I was with for so long meaning 3 years. And honestly, it proved to be more painful. It proved to be more painful, and that was not something that I could have anticipated. I thought it'd be easier to try to maintain some sense of like order, and I found out that's not really healthy. Your body knows when you're putting yourself in a position or a place that really is harmful to your emotional self, and just like your body holds stress. So I think I ended up trying to stay friends with that person and still be a part of this group for another 3 months. And then it finally came crashing down, and I would say I finally had a point where it's like, all right, had this meltdown, try to be friends. 3 months later, it just seemed to be more damaging. And so we are now getting to, it's still in this time of early May. Happy Asian American Pacific Islander and Heritage Month. It's also Happy Jewish Heritage Month. There's a lot of big celebrations going on that I learned. Some spaces that have you feeling like you must be something instinctively that you feel you are not or you don't align with is not a space that's welcoming. And part of that, which I don't think we realize, is that there's a grieving component that again, I don't know if it's talked about, but I experienced it myself where I had to then grieve this time that I spent a lot in for 3 years. I kind of thought of the other day as like I got very close to the fire and I got burned. And that happens, I'm sure, frequently in social situations. And I don't think it's necessarily like adoptee related, because even in adoption spaces, I have found sometimes those can be challenging too. I mean, we're all still very much unique in our own way, and being in an adoptee space, yes, we have the adoption in common. It doesn't necessarily mean that we all align on the same goals and we see everything the same way. We're all unique individuals there too. And as a result of all of this, I realize in order to grieve, because it's not linear, I've removed myself from that space that I was invested in for so long, for 3 years. And then in adoptee spaces, I also took a step back too. And that could be a huge contributor to why it's like the podcast hasn't been as frequent with releases, because in general, I felt like I needed a break from all of it. And I also was very much focused on fighting a battle related to my home situation. Where was I going to live? And how was I going to remain sane throughout? Honestly, like the experience of the roommate that I lived with was somebody who was a friend at first, and then over the past year, it seemed to be a huge shift into something else. Like, was this person always like this, or was it just something I didn't notice because at the time we had a buffer of another person? Or was it also just the more that I started to realize in myself about growing and understanding more of what I actually value, what's important, this other person might have just remained the same. And it resulted in some pretty hostile conversations. I would say that I definitely afterwards, after the person moved out, I blocked any contact or communication, and it was good. I'm somebody who does that. But I did spend a good 3 months, and then the person couldn't touch at all or influence my trip to Tokyo, because this all happened right before I left for the trip. And then when I got back, I did have to deal with it immediately, and it resulted in the person just showing truly who they are. And it's not always going to be in life, it's like not always going to be fair. How we feel wronged, like some people will not be there to really like own up to their own mistakes. It mostly was like an apology would have been nice, but I know we don't always get that from people, and potentially like this person could be narcissistic as a result of their own insecurity and everything. But this was somebody I lived with. It was a roommate, and it was a roommate that a lot of people know that I'm connected to. And it just seemed like this was another reason to separate from that group that I was a part of in Queens originally. And it ended up, so far it's working out better. I've separated from that group for about, it's been about almost, it's almost been a full year. I would say it's been 7, 8 months. And to be honest, it's much better. I'm going to probably insert a break here and then continue talking. Relationship we have, and I know I've talked about openly here. I, over the holidays recently, had developed a better understanding of my oldest brother. So, again, I have two older brothers, they are biological to my parents. And I did end up connecting with my oldest brother briefly on like hearing his experiences related to being a father and just what he's doing with his life and his work and how he feels. And it wasn't like a very long dialogue. It was kind of on a timer because I had to catch a train, but I also had a better understanding and opening into the life of my dad too. And if anything, all this just really helped me understand more about my parents and my brothers as individuals. It took a lot of time to get here, I mean, I know in the beginning of starting this podcast and the beginning early years, it was a lot of definitely hurt. I was angry, I was upset. And now it's understanding that we each are all individuals, adults. I'd like to think, we're all adults now. And we all have our own problems. So in that sense, it's like I forgive and I forgave my brothers, I forgave my parents for all the negative feelings I had. And I'm moving forward with that, able to find like some common ground to speak with both my parents about different things. My brothers and I, we aren't reaching out to each other still. I think that's, I mean, I haven't felt compelled to reach out to either of my brothers, and they haven't either, so it's a two-way street, right? So, and we know that all of these relationships, it takes two to tango. Not pun intended, but it does take two. So it's my end and the other person, as all of our relationships are. And sometimes it's very hard to be very open and honest and vulnerable with another person, even if they are family. Yes, since coming back from Japan and Taiwan, I feel like there was a refresh in a way. And I will say, just because I was in Japan and Taiwan didn't mean all of the stress and trauma that I had experienced right before the trip didn't follow me. There were definitely moments when I was abroad where, yes, I got to explore a lot of great things and have great food, but I could tell my body was still holding on to a lot of stress related to the move and fighting with old roommate and dealing with the landlord and all that wonderful time. And it all worked out. I did come back to the States, to a new place where all my stuff was still packed. So it took me a good probably month to actually really start to unpack my belongings physically, and also to start unpacking emotionally, like what happened before, because I was in this fight mode when I before I left for Japan. And then when I was in Japan and Tokyo, or Japan, Tokyo, and the other areas, and then Taiwan, I definitely got to relax, but I still knew there was like a fight left in me that I still had to deal with. Yes, so being in a new space, it's helpful. I can tell I'm still processing how to find and make new experiences in this area that I live in. I know that it's different because I do have a strong chance of running into people that are from the previous group. It was a running group, I will say that. And there are a ton of running groups everywhere in this city. There's a ton of running groups everywhere in the world. At least that I understand that there was quite a few running groups in Japan and there was quite a few in Europe, but so maybe not everywhere in the world, but places I've been to abroad, I've noticed there's definitely running groups. And I have since found another group to associate with and affiliate. And I've also been doing this approach of going to different groups, trying their runs, not necessarily going to only one place, one location, because it really was like getting too close feels like you get burned sometimes. And the running community is not that huge. It's big here in the city, but it's not that big. And I'd rather have the experience of trying different places before being stuck or committed to one in a sense. But yeah, that was a very eye-opening experience to feel like when you aren't accepted for who you are, it's best to depart or leave, and you will then find places and areas that do accept you. And it wasn't long after I parted ways officially with that group in that area of Queens that I started to feel more comfortable and transition, though I did transition into having to find a new place to move. But now that we're in May of 2024, it seems like the spring and summer will have more moments of, I'm sure, grieving, because that was a 3 year, in a sense, that was my longest relationship. It was a 3 year relationship with friends, or I guess now acquaintances in that group. And I'm sure there will be more moments where it's gonna be hard, but it's always wonderful to have outlets such as this podcast and the adopted community too, to talk and learn about everybody's experience, where they grew up, what they are doing, and what they hope to do, and learning more about everyone. I do find that very valuable. I think it has definitely helped myself understand more about my own adoption. Even like hearing reunion stories from adoptees sort of really helps inform a lot of my feeling related to it as well. But yeah, it's all a part of the process, I would say, of doing something a longer term. And I mean that in the way of having this show for now 4 years has been a huge accomplishment, and I do celebrate that again, because things do change, and the future of the show, I don't know where it will go, but I would like to continue to keep having it. It may not be as frequent, it may not be as frequent of like a release. And I think if there comes a time when it feels like there's a natural end, then I'll stop doing it. But for now, it feels like I can still have this and maintain some sort of existence in the sense. And I appreciate you taking time to listen to me and rambling. I am the host and producer of this show. I've been doing it solo since the beginning, and I hope that it still stays in the webosphere for anyone who is interested in listening. So, thank you for listening. This is Adoptees Born in China podcast. I'm Tara, and you can reach me at Adoptees Born in China Pod on Instagram and Facebook, or Adoptees.